Jeremiah 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Therefore, thus says the Lord, against the shepherds you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit on you the evil of your doings, says the Lord. So the people went into captivity because they had sinned, often it is said, from the least to the greatest. And yet, on another level, it is true that they went into captivity because of bad shepherding, particularly the priests, who were their shepherds. Now, Jeremiah was a priest, so he's really criticizing his own people here. He was from a priestly family. That's very hard to do. But God told him to say this, and so he does. And there's times when you are going to be out of step with your own family and your own people, I'm afraid, if you really follow what God says. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they will fear no more, nor be dismayed. The days come, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a righteous branch. Ultimately, this is the Lord Jesus, and he will reign as king and deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. And this is his name by which he shall be called, Yahweh, our righteousness. Now, we're told in the New Testament that God has made the Lord Jesus righteousness to us. If we believe and we're baptized into Jesus, we are counted righteous. We are counted as if we are Jesus. And so he becomes our righteousness. The days come, says the Lord, that they will no more say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and who led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, Babylon and Assyria, and from all the countries where I had driven them. They shall dwell in their own land. Concerning the prophets, my heart within me is broken, all my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man because of Yahweh and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourns. So I think that this is Jeremiah speaking, and he's saying that God has opened my eyes to see what's going on and how sinful the whole society is. And he says, my heart is broken and I'm shaking. His heart was broken. He doesn't think, ooh, you sinful people, you bunch of hypocrites. When he sees the sinfulness around him, his heart is broken. And you think of Lot in Sodom. He vexed his righteous soul day by day for the wickedness of what they were doing. And it should be the same with us, that we should have a heart that bleeds for people, not be endlessly critical and coming out with, oh, the latest scandal here and there, but to have a heart that's broken because of human failure. Both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house, the temple, have I found their wickedness. Therefore, their way shall be to them as slippery places in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall in it. I will bring evil on them, says the Lord. So God is the source of evil in the sense of disaster and judgment. I form the light and I create darkness, God says. I make peace and I create evil. So there's no sort of evil being or monster or dragon or entity called Satan or the devil out there. God gives us all the good things and Satan gives you all the bad things. Not at all. God is all powerful. All comes from him. And the evil that came upon the people came from God. I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. That's the 10 tribes. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. In the prophets of Jerusalem, that's Judah, the 2 tribes, I have also seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies, and they strengthen the hands of evildoers so that none repents from his wickedness. They are all of them become to me as Sodom, and its inhabitants as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord about the prophets, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is ungodliness gone forth into all the land. That's why you've got to be careful who you listen to. which teachers you listen to. Because here the shepherds and the prophets, the teachers, are responsible for the error of the people. So you've got to be wise as to who you listen to. And above all, to check it out against God's word, the Bible. Thus says the Lord, don't listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They teach you vanity. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise me, Yahweh has said, you shall have peace. And to each one who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil will come on you. It's not for men to just talk what they feel and then say, oh, and this is a word of the Lord. Not at all. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh, that he should perceive and hear his word? Who has noted my word and heard it? Behold, the storm of Yahweh, his wrath has gone forth. A whirling storm, it shall burst on the head of the wicked. The anger of Yahweh will not return until he has executed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you shall understand it perfectly. I think it implies that the whole issue of the way God judges people, we will not understand perfectly now, but only in the last day will we understand it completely or perfectly. And it's that lack of full understanding which frustrates some people. They want to have a direct, complete, total understanding. And the fact that we don't have it, I think, is a test of our humility and the degree to which we trust God. Because if we love God, then you will trust him. If you know God, you will trust him, even for those bits that you do not understand fully. I did not send those prophets, yet they ran. I didn't speak to them, but they prophesied. If they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused my people to hear my words and would have turned from their evil way. Am I a God at hand, says Yahweh, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places so that I do not see him? Don't I fill heaven and earth? So God knows what's going on, but they like to think he didn't. And this is a great theme of the prophets, that God sees and knows all things. Clearly the people had the idea that God was so far away he kind of didn't notice. But God does. And you cannot hide from God. And he knew all this stuff going on with these false prophets and the false messages that they were giving. Isn't my word like fire, says Yahweh, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So God's true word is extremely powerful. And these false prophets were just coming out with their own ideas. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says Yahweh, who steal my words, each one from his neighbor. I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, says Yahweh, and cause my people to err by their lies. When this people, or the prophet, or the priest, shall ask you, saying, what is the burden of Yahweh? Then you shall tell them, what burden? I will cast you off, says Yahweh. So you see, they were coming to Jeremiah saying, oh, can you go and talk to God for us? Can you get a message from God? And it was very tempting also for Jeremiah to tell them basically what they wanted to hear. And the message was pretty unpleasant. I will cast you off. As for the prophet, the priest, and the people who shall say, the burden of Yahweh, I will even punish that man and his house. You shall mention the burden of Yahweh no more. Every man's own word shall be his burden, for you have perverted the words of the living God. You shall say to the prophet, what has Yahweh answered you, and what has Yahweh spoken? But if you say, the burden of Yahweh, therefore thus says Yahweh, because you say this word, the burden of Yahweh, and I have sent to you, saying, you shall not say the burden of Yahweh, therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will cast you off. Well, the truth was that God did not utterly forget them. And elsewhere in the prophets, God says, how can I forget you? I love you. So here I think God is speaking in his anger. He is deeply hurt by them. And he says, I will totally forget you. Well, it's not that he contradicts himself. It's just that he has passion and he has emotion. And he speaks in that passion and in that emotion. And that's a great thing, that God has feeling. and emotion and passion. He's not like these stone-faced gods of the Greeks who had no passion, no feeling, no emotion. God is live and we are in his image. And we can touch the heart of God. We can make him happy. We can make him angry. And if you love God with all your heart, you want to please him, and you can and you do please him.